right, good singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high. I don't care where you're from. Let me get this button turned on right here. All right, good. Thank you very much. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs 31. Let's see here. Introduce these boys' daddy right here. What's his name?
I'm Jonathan.
Jonathan, good to have you. I knew it was something. I wanted to say Jack, and I thought, nah, that ain't right. But Jonathan, it's good to have you this morning.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Uh-huh. All right, take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs in chapter number 31. If you find the place you're able to stand, look in verse number 1. Proverbs 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vow? But she covered it all, didn't she?
Yeah.
Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways unto that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish. Now see, this is a medicinal purpose now. They didn't have any other medicine and so forth. If he's dying, needs to have some, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink, forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a sermon entitled, What Can We Say About Mother's Day? Man, I'll tell you, after 30 years, you think you've just about said everything there is to say, but we've not touched the hem of his garment. I got to say to you, I was sitting there just thinking about, you know, and all these girls and all these ladies, you know, now that are ladies, I knew them before they were conceived. I knew them when they were little girls and after they were born as babies. I knew them now they've got children of their own. And man, what a thing that it is to be able to watch them as they stand and talk about how good God's been and the children they've given birth to, and now they're in the training business where they once were being trained. I got to tell you right now, I thought about my wife, who's now a mother, who's a grandmother, now who's a great-grandmother. I think about her. And let me tell you right now is that neither one of us are as sharp as we used to be. But, you know, God is still good. God's watching over and taking care of us. I remember here the other day whenever she fell and broke her hip, needed to get a titanium rod put in. And it went into the side, down into the hip bone, down into the leg, and all that business. And through the course of that, they did an x-ray and found out she had cancer now that it moved to her lungs. And so it's funny how God does some of that, isn't it? And then, of course, you know, here just this week, she went to get her eyes examined because of all that chemo to make sure that they're still pretty sharp, and if she needed any adjustments and that and all that, she learned through that her driver's license was expired. And so I thought to myself, you know, I don't want her to feel bad. I thought, you know, that's funny, isn't it? God's still good. Now, I guarantee you, he's still good. I thought about, you know, so much about it. I came to church this morning, and I've left my billfold and driver's license somewhere. If you do find it, I'd like the money back. The other stuff can be replaced pretty easy, but nonetheless, there's not a whole lot of money, but I'd like, you know, to be able to have that. Reward, yeah, I'll give you some reward, but don't forget that. I want to say to you that in life, and that concerning motherhood and life, do you know there's some happy experiences in it? I guarantee you right now, I've seen all of you whenever your mouth had just burst out in grins and you felt happy all over and made everybody around you when these little boys and girls were born into the world, the first time they ever grinned, the first time they ever laughed, the first time they ever talked. I got to tell you is that it's been good to be down at the house of God and watch them progress along his line. Yes, there's been some times it was a hurting experience. There's been some times it was a horrible experience. There's been some times, you know, that whenever you begin to look into it, that you just can't understand what's going on and why it's going on. I got to tell you right now, is that you're just going to be able to find out that when a person becomes a widow or a widower, God steps in that place and takes over and will give you comfort if you can. I know what it's like to have some horrifying, agonizing experiences and losses in life. But let me just tell you something that, if you will, that I learned something from many of you. Is that, let me tell you, whenever you're at your worst and down as low as you can go, make no mistake about it, there's somebody on the scene that's not seen with a visible eye, and that by the grace of God will sustain you in your darkest hour. I was thinking about when you begin to look into that, is that here's what you do. Sometimes I was hurting so bad during one of the losses in our family. I hurt so bad, agonized so bad, was concerned about others in the family as well. And I finally would break down and ask one of them, "How are you doing?" And they say, here's what they'd say, "I'm just doing what I know's right." That's all you can do. It's not a matter of feeling good every time, though I like to feel good. It's not a matter of having the answer all the time, though it's a lot easier to have it. But it is a matter of just do right in the sight of God, and that's the thing that you have to do. You just have to do what you know is right in the sight of the Lord. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, this lesson comes about a mother to a king. Now, there's not anybody that we know of anywhere by the name of King Lemuel that's there. Here's what we do know, is that I believe with all of my heart that king that we've been just reading about is named Solomon. And whenever you read about Solomon and write all that he learned, he didn't always obey what he learned. But while he was there obeying what he learned, it was a good time. When he got big enough to disobey, call his own shot, and then it didn't turn out so well for him. Now, if that is Solomon that this woman's talking to, that means this woman here is Bathsheba. And Bathsheba is teaching a king. She's married to a king. His name is David. She knows about a king. And let me tell you, she knows about her past and some shady deals that were taking place that were beyond her control sometime. But let me tell you right now is that you'll find that this is a mother of a king, and she's about to teach her boy, who is a king, about to teach him some instruction that'll be a blessing to him. Now, we're not going to take time to be able to turn to all of them because we don't have time. But let me tell you right now, not all mothers are the same. I will tell you right now, I had a good mama. I had a good mother-in-law. And there's times, you know, and I found out right now, mama-in-laws don't like you picking at them the way mamas do. Some of you have learned that too, haven't you? I want to say to you that it's good to be able to know the Lord and to be able to realize that, oh, some mamas are not the same. But I'm not worried about all the other mothers that are not here. I'm worried about the good mothers that are here. I'm looking at you. You get bogged down on if you've had a bad past to where you miss the blessings of the present. I'm going to tell you, when I look at you, it gives me faith and gives me pleasure, hope, and gladness in the thing called motherhood that God's given in the Bible. Well done, ladies. If I had a hat, I'd tip it to you. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, that these mothers, there's at least 12 of them. You'll find that over there, that in the book of Proverbs, you'll find there's a fair woman mentioned. There's a gracious woman mentioned. There's a whorish woman mentioned. There's an odious woman mentioned. An adulterous woman mentioned. There's a brawling woman mentioned. I don't want to turn to there. Some of you think you're married to her, and that's probably not true. There's a strange woman mentioned. There's an evil woman. There's a contentious woman and an angry woman all wrapped up in one. There's a foolish woman, but there's a wise woman, and there's a virtuous woman that's given in just the book of Proverbs. And my, what a wonderful thing that it is. But now here's a woman that's trying to teach her son about something that'll destroy a king. That's good, isn't it, to be able to know that, hey, She's married to a king. Now she's got a son that's going to be a king and heir to the throne. And so she's going to teach him a thing or two. In the book of 1 Kings chapter number 11 and about verse number 1, listen to what he said. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh and the women of Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites and Zidonians and the Hittites and of the nations concerning whom the Lord said to the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, and neither shall they come into you, for they will surely turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives and princes and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. I got to tell you, when you read over there in the book of Proverbs, here's a lesson for you good godly women to be able to learn. You ought to teach your children about the right way and the wrong way and the right people and the wrong people, about the right life and the kind of living. You ought to teach them about the dangers of whiskey and wild women. You ought to teach them about the word of the Lord. That does not mean that they'll all the time take heed to and obey what they have learned from the Bible. Solomon didn't. I'm talking about the smartest man, according to the Bible, that's on the face of this earth outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Smartest man born among women. Can you imagine that? How'd you fellows like to be able to go home and have 700 concubines to try to keep them happy? Somebody said, boy, I'll tell you right now, if I had me another wife or two, why would you want to tick off another lady? You can't keep the one you've got happy. See what I'm talking about? I mean, people on the job, especially when you're working on the job, you'll meet some people that have never been to church, don't want to go to church, that are just as confused as a termite in a yo-yo going up and down, and they don't know which way's up, which way's out, which way's down, and let me tell you, they'll just say some dumb things. I work with an old boy, and I tell you every now and again, you know, he had no respect, obviously, for his wife. It'd be about dinner time. Well, I see the old hide's coming. I thought, man, what a godless bunch this must be really here, you know. You women quit looking at your husband. It was nobody in this building. It was back in the days when I was working on jobs, you know, in a mechanic shop. Mechanics, you know, outside of my son-in-law, mechanics, you know, their language, the words in their language don't go very far. In fact, if the guys I work with, that if you had them speak 10 words, 15 of them be cuss words. That's just how bad it is. I got to say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into this Bible, you begin to realize and know that while all mothers are not the same, I thank God for you good godly mothers that love God, that love the Bible. Number one is, in this sermon, I want to talk about the awareness that we ought to have. Do you know that the Bible said is that here's, you say, what do you mean by awareness? Let me tell you something. I don't care whether it's good or bad, heaven, hell, or high water. Is that the reason why you ought to think about your mother just for a minute? She's the reason you're here. She's the reason you've been born into this world. Whatever else they may or may not have done, I'm not trying to justify that, but I am saying that we ought to be aware that somebody, somewhere, that God used a woman, a vessel, a feminine person to bring you into this world. Do you know over there in the book of Luke, don't turn there. I remember whenever Mary, the Virgin Mary, she was expecting, she was carrying our Lord. And buddy, whenever there were things told to her about what was going to transpire in life, finally there was going to be the prophecy that her heart was going to be pierced through, and because of the treatment that they would give to her son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, and Mary pondered these things in her heart. You know, every now and again, you're going to catch Mama just doing a little pondering about you, thinking about you. You know what the word ponder, here's what it means, to think about something carefully, something especially before making a decision, something that reaches a conclusion because they put a lot of thought into it. I've seen some of these boys and these girls, you know, watching them come up. And now in 50-something years of ministry, you know, there's a time or two you're going to meet somebody. You're not here this morning. I don't see anybody like that here this morning. But you'll meet somebody every now and again and say, hey, I can tell she didn't give much thought on that. See? Yeah. Yeah, you bunch of amenless
Cowards and everything. You're scared to death, aren't you? Scared. You can't beat up a man for being scared. Oh, I don't want to get too bullyfied and braggadocious, because let me tell you right now, we're all scared a little bit. I told somebody one time, they said, is your wife in the military? I said, no, and it's a good thing, too, because if she was in the Army, they'd have to send me with her to make her fight. I'm the only one make her mad enough to fight. And that's the truth of the matter. You know, out of all these years that we've been married, what's coming up, 55 years, coming up in August. Do you realize, I know it all that time right there, I've never seen her mad one time at anybody but me. Yeah. And let me tell you right now, it's not good. If I could dig up my dog and let him stand and testify, he saw it. Yeah. I had a black and tan. For those of you that don't know, it had a long-eared black and tan dog. But he'd sometimes just ease up by you and bark, and it'd just make you jump clean out of your skin. But anyhow, he was trying to follow her off, and she was driving off in that trunk. And I was out there waving, trying to get a car. I didn't want him getting the highway. And so finally, whenever she got back, and he's standing there by me, and I said, don't you ever look in the rearview mirror to find out if there's anybody trying to flag you down or anything? Bloody old Striker looked up at me like, mm-mm. He had that same look that Chandler had on her face on America's Home Video whenever her mama was taking a bite of her corn and she was looking up at her. I just wanted to say all that to be able to say this. I like a feisty woman that can every now and again lose it, but it's a little scary when it's coming directly to you. I said all that to be able to say this. We ought to be aware that every now and then they got a feeling just like we got feeling. They need somebody to be able to pamper them just like you and I do. And I want to say to you that it's good. I'm glad that we can be aware of the fact that we got into this world, we're born into this world by a vessel that was of the feminine gender. I want to say number two is there ought to be an appreciation for mama. I think about whenever you're looking at it, and I want to be thankful. You know, after all these years that my mother's been deceased, my mother-in-law, I'm thankful for all they've done and for all that they've provided. I want to say to you that, if you will, we ought to be thankful unto the Lord. And the Bible said that when you enter into the gates of the house of God, you ought to have thankfulness in your heart unto God. For who you are and for where you came from and what you would have been had it not been for the wonderful grace of God. I think about is that. And then I want to say to you that, if you will, there's a element of affliction that every now and again comes up. Let me tell you right now, don't you imagine that before that Bathsheba finally dying, that she shed some tears over Solomon and the wretched life that he lived. I mean, obviously, that when you begin to look into that, you begin to see that, and that all of those women that God warned him about, they turned his heart away from God. And I want to tell you something, fellas. I don't care who you are, where you hail from. You show me a mama that's got her children loving God by her own example, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, exalting and magnifying the Lord by example, that is a great teacher to the children. Let me tell you, I'll show you a happy mama that's glad God has reached down and touched them. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, and that goes without saying, that whenever you and I enter into the house of God with joy and thanksgiving. Then thirdly, I want to talk about affliction. You know, there's some hardships, ladies, and my hat goes out to you and my heart goes out to you. There's some affliction, some hardship that comes, and yet there's a duty. And sometimes we're dealing with our duty of everyday life, and sometimes even the horrifying subject of death. But I want to tell you something right now, is that if you live for God and love God, did you know the Bible talks about the fatherless? And as a result, talks about the widows, and he talks about children and says he'll take the place for you. And let me tell you right now, it's good to be able to know that God does that. You know, if we're not careful, we live too much in the past. And man, what a bummer that is. But it's good to recognize and know that God has been and is good to you and I. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible here, here's what a great woman does and a great teacher. She teaches her children about grooming. I mean, you know, these girls are not going to just grow up, learn how to look right, walk right, and talk right, or spit white. They're going to need to be taught about grooming. And they're going to need to be taught about grace. And not only that, but let me tell you, they learn that you can't force people into the family of God. You can't force people into being born again. But when God comes knocking on your heart's door, God grants you repentance and faith toward God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be born into the family of God. Let me tell you something about mother that you boys and girls here, especially you young men, you know. It's amazing when you go to carrying a billfold in your pocket that you feel like you've arrived. I hope if you find my billfold, by the way, I've lost it. Isn't it amazing, though, you're able to carry a comb or maybe carry your billfold and boy, you're just cock of the walk. You're walking around like a banty rooster ready to grab it and ready to get it on. I'll tell you something right now. Your mama is still going to be your inspector. Hey, when's the last time you washed behind that ear, boy? Are those clean underwear you got on? Don't worry about it, Mama. It's going to be all right. It won't be all right if you didn't change them. Where you been? Where you going? Did you take a bath? Have you had, listen, your mom ought not have to be telling you fellas, especially by the time you're in your 20s, you ought not to have to be told about taking a bath, using deodorant, clean behind your ears, put on deodorant. I know some people up and down the road remember that. As that, you know, used to, they had a deodorant pad. You could put that under your arm, and you were supposed to just wipe it real good. But anyhow, some people thought they had to carry them on. And let me tell you something. A five-day deodorant pad don't last no 2 weeks. You can see the flies around that person. You can smell them before they get to you. And your mama don't want you being like that. I'll tell you something right now. You need to be able to learn to change your mind, to change your manners, to change your life, and to be appreciative of what God's given you in the way of a mother. Now, here's what a good mother does, and I'm going to give you five things and be done. Number one is a good mother's clean. You got a clean heart, clean life, provides a clean place for you. A mother that's clean is converted, knows the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you right now is that if our children or our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren, if they died and went straight to hell, my heart would be broken, and I hope that's not the case, but it would not be because of their mother or their grandmother or their great-grandmother, I can tell you that. And then I want to say to you that, if you will, she's one that's concerned. There ain't nobody going to be more concerned about you than a good godly mother. And then not only that, you're going to find out she's going to cry occasionally. I came up to a mother one time that her son had really gone off the deep end. I said, what seems to be the matter, Mammy? Oh, nothing, Dennis. You'll never know until you are grown and have kids of your own. And she was weeping over them. Last but not least, there ain't nothing can ever comfort you and calm you down like a mother. And let me tell you, though you've ever had that kind of treatment or not, and I would to God you had, it doesn't keep you, even if you did not, from becoming what God intends for you to be as a comforter. Amen. I look at all of you ladies that are here, and I thank God for you. I appreciate what God's done for you and what God's doing. And your best days are yet to come. Yet to come. I wonder why we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed. Our Father, as we are here and gathered together on this fine Mother's Day, I pray your blessings upon this congregation. And Lord, I pray you'd give them a good day in the Lord. And we
want to say thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. Now may we leave here, gather back again tonight. May the Holy Ghost of God move upon us and within us. Right every wrong in our heart and life. If there's one that's lost without God, this would be a good time as they have their head bowed and their heart bowed to you to repent toward God and by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now bless, I pray this word to every heart in Jesus' name.